This is an overview of the current work of this age, the age to come, but speaking much more directly to the work of today and how it fits in a longer framework. It's an overview in that it just touches on some of the things that are taking place. And when I speak of time frames of an age or two, and we're talking 1,000 or 2,000 or 4,000 years, just as when we look at any endeavor, what I'm seeing and what we evaluate are the general framework, the pattern, the matrix of transition, of movement. We're looking at the tendencies, and then these become translated into the framework of time, because we're not talking about a time requirement. Just as within a person's development or growth, it doesn't necessarily take a certain amount of time for one to advance step by step or to go through one level of awareness or consciousness to the next, even though it may generally take place in a general pattern and framework of a few months or weeks or years, whatever it happens to be. It's not quite like the growing seasons and the rhythms of nature, because so much of it, this process, is affected by what takes place within the world and people's choices, desires, aversions, and therefore needs to be constantly modified depending upon what does take place. In reality, there can be the growth of a community or organization, a corporation, from something that's very small to something that's very large in a relatively short period of time. In other words, it's not dependent necessarily on the outer time, but rather overall conditions and inner functions and what the needs of society are and the world and opportunities and how potentials manifest. There can be wars which get in the way, or there can be unexpected natural disasters which alter a situation. So we're always speaking about looking at general trends and frameworks and patterns, recognizing that these are adapted as needed. And so when I speak of an age or two, it's within that larger context. Let's say the overriding theme of this next age and the time that we find ourselves now in is that of unification of the ways, uniting of the traditions and means toward realization under one, in one awareness and consciousness, one unity of function in which we don't get rid of the particulars and we don't necessarily say one is greater than another, better than another, precedes one and so is of greater value, but rather the uniting in terms of awareness and function that all of the different means toward realization, higher experience, all the different valuable ways that have been brought into the world at different times for the benefit of peoples, races, in order to convey certain step-by-step teachings, the growth of and harmony of people, have all stemmed from one greater being. And the teaching exists, the means exist, and the ways, the paths represent different approaches to that unity of being. So there's the unification or uniting of the ways and paths, the various traditions, not so much in becoming of one, only one way, even though that all of the major traditions of the mystic teachings at the very basis will stem from the same thing, and those who have reached the higher level of unity may say that the inner essence of, and then you can fill in the blank, of the tradition or path is the same from one to another. And we would hear things saying, a person would say, well, Zen, or the basis of Zen, or that from which Zen comes, is the basis of all the different traditions. Or a person might say from that perspective, looking at somebody else in another who has approached realization and experience and unity to the level of completion, you'd say, well, this person is of Zen, has the Zen, or in another manner, Sufi, and we get beyond the different framework of the tradition and teachings in an outer capacity, an outer manner, and say that which is Sufi is of united realization, becoming of one being, and then that person would say, well, all things are of this, and also, and so one could say of the, from this perspective, of the one who has in realization, through reached through the path of unity of becoming of that Buddha, this one is of Sufi also. And the same thing happens in other traditions, same perspective is. The problem is an insidious problem in that there's the division between the two or three or four paths, and there's the maintenance of barriers and blocks, walls, rather than the harmonization and the united consciousness and awareness that through the initiatic process, all are not only connected, but united as one being, part of one breath and one body, and all the work and all the works and all the teachings and all the prophets and all the paths have stemmed from this and come back to it. So in this sense, what we're finding is that this age is one of the harmonization of the ways and paths and means into one united being, one consciousness and awareness that the individual is initiated into the, we'll say, the Sufi path or the Buddhist or the Hindu or the Zen way of going about things. And at the same time, it's recognized that the person is part of a school within a larger framework of life, the life school, and all of the schools are attached to this and connected to this, and that one is part of one larger process, and that being the teaching of life, the conveyance of wisdom through heart and breath and being, becoming, remembering. This is the conscious attitude that is growing and is taking place and that will grow over the period of this age and more if it takes more time than that in order to fully bear fruit and come to fruition. But this is the main moving we'll say, that's going on. And at this point, we are in somewhat of infant steps, more beginning steps, in that we're moving this into the outer world at the same time as it has been continuing and known in the inner levels and inner works and many mystic works for years and years. The traditions themselves are becoming more united in terms of practice. And while this does not mean that one picks willy-nilly from one practice to another, but rather recognizes the unity of the practices across the board and how they complement each other, how that they are part of one greater teaching, and as the globalization of the world takes place through many different forms, political, social, economic, communications, and so forth, there's the natural harmonization of the world and blending of that, the globalization in an outer manner, and so too it's reflected in the inner schools and the inner life. And the inner life opens the way for the outer acceptance and globalization taking place even more. So this is the overriding theme of this age. Along with this, we find great resistance. And this is typical in the movement toward anything new or any change. There's the resistance of the old. And we will examine this a little bit more, but this is one of the reasons for the rise in fundamentalism and the grabbing of the older that is past or is passing. People don't want to let go of this. And in the course of real growth and real change and real harmony, there has to be also the change within the individual of attitudes and the opening up of heart and the acceptance of one to another. And there have been very strong resistances to this that are coming to the fore now, which show itself in various disturbances in this world, bordering on anger, hatred, wars, and so forth. A lot of this is just coming out because of the resistance to change and the holding on to the past. And it's all tied up with the individual egotism and desire for power and perpetuating of false attitudes and so forth. But this is typical of an individual also as he or she goes forward in the growth in the spiritual path, in the spiritual realm. And there's always the resistance and holding on of the lower self that doesn't want to die, doesn't want to give up, yield, surrender, so that the real can come through. And thus there's the battle of self, which is shown to takes place, and there are many writings about this and epics, and the Bhagavad Gita being one of them, in which it's demonstrated how an individual goes through this fight and the inner fight that one grows through. And psychologically, the same thing is expressed in the outer sciences. One of the aspects of unification of the ways that we really got to become aware of is thus there is the movement from the inner to the outer through the sciences and through the experiences of many people coming into this world who are not connected with any particular tradition or way, but also are finding just the natural expression as they're growing of the inner harmony, the inner realization and experience, which has been pointed toward in the as part of the mystic experience. And this is becoming more prevalent, more present in the world, not necessarily dependent upon individual schooling, nor a particular spiritual tradition and path. The religions or ways and approaches it does not preclude people from experiencing these things directly themselves. The understanding of it is another story. But as part of the natural evolution and growth within the planet and of the consciousness and awareness, it feeds over and it opens the way for these experiences. And these are conveyed, they're brought into the world through direct transmission, through many other ways. Part of it is the loosening of the matrix of life that is the greater light and love that is recognized as being important in this world. And these things also are reflected from and take part from the growth of leisure time, the changeover from a agrarian or hunter-gatherer society into a more communal society of shared work, in which people can then explore their potential, we'll say, more, the positive experiences of living. And these grow as the standards of living rise with people. They're not so focused upon their own individual personal survival. And it's natural that this would take place. Accordingly, there are a number of people within the sciences who explore what aspects of what could be called mystic living, teaching, realization, and in the course of that, they begin to unfold some of the more practical aspects of what's taking place. They become aware of that, say, well, this function that we didn't know about from a scientific basis, this particular thing exists. This is like looking in the microscope, stronger and stronger microscopes, and becoming aware of atoms and molecules and atoms and then smaller units which make this up and so on and so forth, or looking out in space and seeing more and more that exists, or becoming aware of the interaction of plants or genetics and so forth. It doesn't mean that they didn't exist before, but only that we're becoming more aware of them, and this explains some of the inner functions that have been promoted and taken place through the mystic functions and mystic perceptions. So these move into daily life and become part of the process. So these are all taking place as part of the unification of the ways, because certainly the outer society is a way, an approach. Science is a means toward realization and experience. But one's got to let go of the previous false thinking, and then move on to a new perception and consciousness and awareness, and there's that growth. And there's the corresponding unification of the ways which include and welcome the sciences and the outer in terms of not restricting consciousness, realization, function only to those of priests, because we're beyond the so-called priesthood level, even though the vestiges remain, is the moving of those people who are not necessarily of that formal linkage, but rather the linkage of heart and breath in an inner basis. It doesn't mean also that we do away with initiation, but rather when one is initiated into a path and system and a lineage, the tradition is expanded to include all those of other faiths and approaches and beings as part of that one tradition from which all the others come and stem. See, as this unification and harmonization takes place, it breaks down barriers, and the result is that one doesn't place oneself above or before another. One becomes more of one united family, one which tends toward, through experience and realization on a higher level, one being. And this, again, if you were to approach it outwardly and scientifically, you'll find the resonances and the information to be contained in that approach also. So along with the harmonization and the unification of the ways, there is also a work in its infancy, we'll say, which is the beginning of the establishment of a united or universal initiation. And the universal initiation is the initiation not into a particular path or way, but rather one is united with, connected to, initiated in, is a part of the one teaching, the one being, through which all the others have come and express, and toward which all the teachings and paths and traditions come and unite in the oneness of self, the oneness of being, and the unmanifest, from which and to which all has come and returns. The unification, the universal initiation, is connected in this manner, and that one's lineage extends to all those beings, known and unknown, through this world and other levels. And in that vein, the initiation and the organization of this, the ordering is unnamed. That is, it doesn't take a name so that it is not claimed as a divisive manner. It is that unnamed aspect beyond name, beyond form, of which one becomes a part. And this is a more difficult in one sense because there's less to cling on to for an individual, yet it's easier from another because the transition is not limited and it includes all the other paths and beings, just as all the other paths in the reality include the traditions that preceded or are associated with it or have come following as part of the greater work. So this is also taking place in the universality of living, and it's will grow over the period of thousands of years perhaps, but it will be present and it's in its infancy now. There are other works that are also taking place that we'll get into more in other discussions, and these include balancing of the imbalances that have shown themselves over the years, thousands of years or more recently. And some of these include the imbalance of lack of women, the female, taking leadership roles, expressing outwardly. There's always been great value there, and the woman has been recognized as the sage, the receiver, the prophetess, but not so much in the leader than the giver of law, the greater teacher, prophet from the standpoint or prophetess from the standpoint or perspective of the conveyance of the way. The leader in this manner. And so this is taking place, and women will come into the fore more and more, and that balance will be redressed. And this is something that's taking place not only in the world in an outer way, we find it in society, but very importantly and very much needed, that balance is expressing itself more and more within and through the various traditions. And this will continue until there is a balance present. There's also a current work which is the revitalization of the ways and the restoration of the teachings. A lot of these have become so out of date and so crystallized that the reasons for being have been lost. And if you look at a lot of the so-called schools or churches, traditions, you'll see that they have the original impulse and work has deteriorated and crystallized. Yet One of the things that is taking place in this age at this time is currently is the restoration of the real inner capacity, the inner transmission, the relighting of the flame of life. It's the dove that descends when Dharma decays, has been spoken of in that metaphor. It is the literal heart, breath, light, love that is breathed anew and is and burst into the flame of living livingness. And this then conveys the transmission of the real. And it's shown through the tradition, through the path. So you have the revitalizations that are taking place within various traditions, even though that they may get a lot of resistance from those who are, we'll say, clinging to the past and are more fundamentalist and are more solid, this still is taking place, and this work will continue. It needs to be supported, needs to be helped. All these things I'm speaking of are part of the greater work. And as an individual grows within the tradition that they're in, or just naturally, they will find that the unfolding and guidance, call it inspiration, intuition, knowing, feeling, even the reasoning, will lead them towards supporting one particular method or approach, be it social or political equality and benefits to the world, or they'll see other more inner reasons for living and will help promote that across the lines of division of races, of countries, communities, so forth, recognizing that we all are of one body, we are of one being, that everything that one person does affects another. Obviously, this is becoming more and more present, and people are becoming more and more aware of it through the globalization of the world, through communication, the awareness of science, and the inner feeling and unfolding that always has been present, but now is being given some more scope and room to bloom and manifest. So this work is taking place. And then as a person grows within the framework of living their own evolution, the evolution of society, they will be guided toward helping out. We'll find books within the traditions themselves that become bestsellers on Oprah's list or the New York Times list, whatever it happens to be, it makes no difference. But in regular social culture, some of the aspects that were previously mystic, so-called mystic teachings or inner perceptions, these are being spoken of more and more within society. Frameworks that were hidden more now are unfolding more in the social sciences and psychology. And as people become more aware, they also, and as there's a revitalization of the ways, and as there's not so much resistance to the more real mystic teachings, then it's very realistic that some of the people who are leaders and teachers and doctors and lawyers and influential within this world will also be influenced by these and will become part of that particular work, and then will express through the social and political, scientific means, economic means, the inner teachings. And here we're also finding the explanation of the understanding of how the inner teachings work and the real teachings work, now being expressed more from those teachers, by those guides, by the ones who truly realize in the different traditions, in ways that are applicable to daily living in an outer manner also. So there's the opening up of the teachings from the inner traditions. They're being expressed more openly, conveyed more, the understanding is correlated to daily living, the inner life and daily living, and it's being expressed more in a number of different ways into the outer. And this, again, is something for somebody who's working within the particular framework or path or tradition to recognize and then to keep open that guidance in case they are directed or led to become part of this work. In other words, all of these are different aspects of the one work of unification, harmonization, balancing, expression of the inner teachings, bringing them forward into the outer life. And all of this is taking place concurrently. And then it's up to an individual to follow their own guidance and intuition and feeling as to what to do to contribute to the world, to harmonize with this. And as they put themselves, as each person puts themselves toward this work in service, then they grow within that framework, their understanding grows, the heart grows, the acceptance of one another grows, the breaking down of barriers takes place. And this is really the work of this age and the age to come, as I speak of it in that manner. And so I've touched on the fulfillment of the previous teachings and the restoration and renewal of these teachings as being part of the process of this work, the revitalization that is taking place. There's also another aspect that has to go along with the revitalization, and that is there has always been a continuation, at least in some degree, of the real inner teachings and transmissions. And as the revitalization takes place and as the restoration of these teachings in experiential manner take place, as the inner information is expressed more into the outer, and this includes writings and teachings which were formerly reserved for initiated students or those within the priesthood, only the select few. These works are being expressed now so that people can work with them, they can understand them. The words aren't so much as important as the overall teachings. These are being expressed outwardly more. So there's a lot of outer action and growth taking place. Correspondingly, it's extremely important that within these schools, within the traditions, and especially with the burst of activity that has taken place more recently, the turn of the century into the 19th century was one. It seems as though that when there's turmoil, there's also a greater expression that opens the door for revitalization and for the expression of the way and teachings. Just as with an individual, when there's chaos in their life or there's upheaval in their life, they're more likely to turn toward the one being, torn toward the real for support. So too does the turmoil within the world, while negative, may show itself through wars or through societal breakdowns or economic breakdown. All of these times that this does take place, it opens the way for the transmission of the teaching and the real, in because it not only supplements but replaces some of the negative that's there. It has to be brought in and manifested more solidly to balance the negativity, and also people are more open to looking at something new or something different than what they were used to and stuck in, and this opens the way for the transmission to express more. There's thus then the strengthening of the schools in these very same times, the First World War, the Second World War, the Korean War. If you look at the time period of the Vietnam War, time periods in which different people brought different teachings. They went out and periods of activity, and you'll find that many times they do correlate upheavals with in society also. And so, while there's been a lot of activity and growth more recently, and there still is the transition and change taking place now and will continue to take place, it's extremely important for those that have caught some of the real now to strengthen and consolidate these teachings. There needs to be the consolidation, the strengthening, the rooting, the making of the next step and stage of the transmissions and the teachings that have come through the current burst. Now that they've got to solidify more, they've got to be assimilated, adapted into the world, rather than continuing expansion simply for expansion's sake. And this is something that people go through individually when they need time to digest the foods of life. You can't be eating always, no matter how good it tastes. You have to assimilate it, and then obviously you then have to express it, excrete the waste from that, and then you go through the cycle again. We're in the process not only of growth, but also of the solidification, the assimilation, and the deepening of the teachings that have taken place. It's very important not to lose sight of this and not to get caught in the expansion, which can lead to proselytizing and losing the depth of the work. There is the tendency for people, especially when they find something of great value, to try to express it all, and then it becomes simplified, it becomes superficial, and some of the greater depth is lost. And at this point, one of the needs through the different schools and paths and traditions that have arisen, especially out of the 1960s and since, I'd say 1940s, 50s, 60s, and since, and that are current now, is the need for a real deep consolidation, a strengthening, and moving beyond superficiality, returning into the way more in a more real capacity, more real matters. This is something that's taking place also, and the individuals who are involved in it have to be aware that this process is taking place. They certainly have that unfolding, and it's part of the school work and the greater work. We should speak also for a moment of the movement from prophethood, from being limited to those people or beings who either brought through the various teachings and transmissions or found themselves as leaders within this and had certain qualities and levels of seership and being connected to the way and the teaching and the transmission and leading all of society. And this is akin to the priesthoods that then grew up and expressed themselves in a more formal manner, but rather that the movement is toward all people, not dependent on their relationship in outer form, but rather the relationship to the teaching, to the real, to become of this one being, to reach that level of leadership, of giving, of being part of the transmission consciously and actively, to taking on the role of the prophet as being part of the way. And this is open to all people. The fulfillment of the prophethood process took place some time ago, and now we're reaching the point where we're really finding the unfolding within the various people who are living in this world, not limited to having to take on an office or form with through a various tradition or teaching. And thus the stepping stone is in moving from the individuality of the teaching, the teacher, the prophet, being separate and very, very special, to the specialness of each individual within the world and the growing prophethood, prophetic nature, which is the universal realization coming through them, and then each individual becoming part of the process. Now, this is very utopian. This is very pie in the sky. This is, one would say, it's very dreamer-like, but let us go on for 1,000 or 2,000 or 3,000 or 4,000 years with this consciousness growing more and more, and it will become part and parcel of everyday life, and it will become more typical as it spreads throughout the society. What was formerly magic now is becoming recognized what it is, and what was science was so mystical and magical to people, and the growth of industrialization brought tools and equipment and so forth to a undeveloped society were like the priesthood, fire coming out of a lighter to those people who had never seen it, more than these sticks being worked together or a result of natural consequences like lightning and so forth. It's magical, it's new, but as they grow more and more within the world, this becomes natural and normal to them, using a lighter, matches. And so what formerly was something that was unreal, a great aspiration, becomes a base and becomes normal. And the same thing that we're speaking of, these greater aspirations and the uniting of the ways and harmonization of people, the unfolding of self, these are natural occurrences that will grow over a period of time as they're brought more and more into the world. And this is part of the work of today, that we're not only expressing this, but also conveying it in a manner so people can actively become part of this work in their own life and through the ways that they're led and guided. So these are some of the functions that are taking place now. And it includes, among other things, the development of one family, one body, and it includes the introduction into society of real mystic approaches and work, including promoting peace, compassion, and understanding of the ways. These are all parts of the current work, part of the greater work that are needed for these steps today that take place. I'll stop here, and the next talks will deal more in particular of some of these aspects and approaches that I've spoken about, and also how things are brought into the world, how change is brought and takes place within the society and in the world today.